This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
No, I did take off to go to the real JT, not Timberlake.
Yeah,
James Taylor.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody gets that mixed up all the time.
Yeah. Well, they shouldn't.
Yeah. Well,
James Taylor's only been doing it since about 1969.
Well, you informed me that when I was asking you about this concert, that you said this was your 12th time.
I think so. I haven't kept really good track, but that would be I'd be pretty close to like 12 times I've seen him in concert. Yeah.
Pretty impressive. Because listen, I enjoy.
But that's
concerts.
Over like a 20 something. I mean, I think the but first still. One was in 1996 or seven. I think spring of 97 in Little Rock at Barton Coliseum.
That is going back when I never saw him in concerts like that, like James Taylor at Barton Coliseum.
Beer in like 30 ounce cups that night too is not a good deal.
Were they like $10? Back
no,
then, too?
Hell, 20 years ago, it's probably like five.
Man. And you probably thought this was outrageous
for that amount
of price for that amount of beer.
I thought it was overpriced, but the 9th and 10th one, I thought were way overpriced.
Yeah, but once you got to that point.
Once I got to the 10th one, I didn't.
It really started adding up. So, but okay, so this is your 12th time to see James.
Something like that.
Does he still have it?
Yes. I mean, yes, but. But
you know, it's not like it was
20 years ago, but yeah, he's
none
still
of us
got
are.
It. Yeah. But yeah, he's still got it.
Okay.
He's still great.
Listen, I know James Taylor. I know a few of his songs. I know my dad listened to James Taylor and all that. So, and the fact that you got your picture with him too.
Yeah,
I was pretty impressed.
I was leaving the arena. It was at the BOK Center in Tulsa. And apparently he saw me. He's a big fan of the show.
Really?
Watches on the stream? On the stream every morning.
Man.
Wanted to know if he could get his picture made with me.
And sure enough, luckily you were there for it. Because that's something. And when you have somebody like James Taylor who listens to our show, I mean, I think that goes to show you just how amazing our show is and how we have celebrities listening to our show all over the place if James Taylor is listening to us. So that's great.
That's the story I'm going with, at least this morning.
Hey, that works for me. I can't prove you wrong. So I have no evidence to go against that.
I'm just going to go with that story.
All right. Well, that works for us. So, but hey, it's good. But it's good to have you back. It's good to have. I'm glad you.
It was good to have the day off, and then it was a late night, so spent the night in Tulsa and came back yesterday, and wasn't back in time for the show. But it was a good time. And
was it sold out?
Well, I mean, for the way they had it set up, yeah, I didn't see very many empty seats. The guy sitting next to me had all of his seat and about half of mine. That's always lovely. It's a What's Your Beef Wednesday. Maybe that can be my beef. It's another one of them things like you have at Razorback Stadium, you know, where if you're sitting in the bleachers.
Yeah.
We were sitting in, on the floor. They just got folding chairs that are kind of hooked together.
And they were cushioned, right?
Cushioned okay. chairs, yes. But this guy was using all of his cushion and part of my cushion. So.
And
what do you do about it? I mean,
there's nothing
you can do. But that just is so uncomfortable. And then what do you say? Hey, get your side lobe there off of me, sir. You know, your belly fat hanging over on this. You know, listen, I'm not the most in shape person in the world, but I don't know. What do you do?
Yeah, you just have to just own it,
I guess.
You have
to just sit sideways for 4 hours and bear it, you know.
Yeah,
grin and bear it.
All right, or try to make him as comfortable as possible, and just
snuggle
really,
up with my wife a little more for 4 hours.
Yeah, that may be the best way to do it. So.
Boy, you really love me tonight. No, I just love you more than the guy next to me.
You can't just hit the button and just be like, stewardess, can I get me another seat here? Yeah. That's not how the concerts in the side of things work. So, yeah, that may be because I was figuring since it's a What's Your Beef Wednesday, you were going to have something from either the concert or during your time gone.
That might be one of them going to do it.
But yeah, that may be one of them too. Because I was feeling like with the weather yesterday and how much I hated that. Where it's like if it's going to be that cold,
it's miserable.
If it's going to be that cold and if it's raining, you might as well snow.
When I left Tulsa yesterday morning or late morning, it was spitting snow and sleet, and I thought, well, maybe we're going to get a little bit of something here.
Nope.
It stayed just enough above freezing.
Like 1 degree. Just enough to make sure that you don't get the snow. So it's pouring rain. So it feels like it's snowing.
Which you would rather have snow.
Well, yeah.
Be a lot less miserable.
Yeah.
Than what we had yesterday. 34 and rain.
Yeah. Because not that I'm, you know, one to complain, but
when
I'm sure you saw the picture when my dog got neutered and he's already very extra sensitive and having to walk him in the rain with his cone on his head.
He's a cone head, huh?
Yeah, he's a cone head. He's got a cone on his head and it's pouring rain. It's freezing cold. It's the worst.
Hang on. I'm confused. He got neutered, right?
That's right.
Then why do the cone shouldn't be on around his neck? Why is the cone on the head? That's not where the surgery took place. I'm confused.
Well,
why do they need the cone on the head? Because I saw this, this thing that I guess keeps him from eating, keeps him from whatever it's to bar whatever. I would think the cone needed to be somewhere else to bar him from other activity.
It keeps him from licking his stitches. That's what it's for. So. I didn't need to ask any more questions when they were explaining it to me. They just said that this cone is to keep them from licking the stitches. I'm like, good enough for me.
I'll take your word for it.
Good enough for me. So that's been a hassle because imagine you having just a big cone over your head and having to work.
Can you imagine after surgery that's how we would come out in recovery?
It's a big plastic cone.
We're up here at the Mercy or the Baptist Health or wherever and we got the big cone around our neck. I think that's what I need to go when I go to the pizza buffet. I just need the cone around my neck.
To keep you from eating forever.
No.
Yep.
Once you fill the cone up, you're done.
Are we going to the pizza buffet today? Is that what I heard?
If we get cones to put around our neck.
Yeah.
Like rowdies.
Yeah.
If I get taken to the pizza buffet, I'll walk out with the cone around my neck.
It would be worth it. Well, see, and that's the thing 100%. Is it's amazing because he can't eat that well. I mean, he just has to try. So he tries to find ways, and it's just very frustrating.
So you have stolen his manhood.
I have.
We had it surgically removed.
We had a conversation about it. And
what was his vote?
His vote was saying, hey, listen, John, I trust your judgment. You, you've obviously raised me since I was a pup.
He will never do that again.
Yeah. But, you know, according to
us, me, this is a deal breaker, though.
Well, it is love your pet day. John obviously doesn't love his pet. Yeah.
Hey, according to science, it says that dogs will be happier and live longer if you do this.
Bob Barker will be happier.
Yeah. The vet that I paid to have this done will be happier as So they will be happier.
Particularly their children or their grandchildren.
Yeah. So, but what about Rowdy? I don't know. But I know he's not happy now. He's very miserable. And he
stole all of his joy.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like he knows something happened, but now he can't even see what happened because he has a cone over his head.
Now, how long does he have to keep the cone?
They said 7 to 10 days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know who's going to be more miserable, me or him, and me having to.
So how does he eat? Because these things basically keep you from.
I basically had to rig up his bowl to where he has, where it's wide enough, but the bowl has to be narrow enough for him to kind of scoop the cone underneath and then him stretch over and get the food. It's quite a hassle. I think the saddest thing is when he tries to get his toy and he can't get it. Like, that's pretty. That hits me in my feels when he's trying to get his chew toy and he can't reach it because the cone won't let him. It's like torture for this poor dog.
7 to 10 days?
Yeah. But they said. On the Google machine.
You don't have stitches that long? I mean.
But maybe if I did down in that situation, maybe it would take 7 days.
Like if Ty makes one of these, you know, your old jokes and I just pop him today and he has to go get stitches, which is, hey. The odds are in favor that could happen today.
You did throw a book at him.
It could happen at any moment on this show. Stitches don't take 10 days to heal, right? I mean, you get them out quicker than that.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know how in that type of surgery with those type of stitches in that type of area, I don't know. Maybe it takes a little longer to get those stitches out. These are the questions I don't ask. They just hand me the form. They're like, here's his medicine. Take it once a day. And 7 to 10 days, take the cone off. Done. I don't need to know anything else. It's fine. I want to know as little as possible about this because it'll just make me cringe, and I don't want that. So, you know, prayers up to Rowdy and his speedy recovery.
I wouldn't make an old joke, but I don't want you to throw your shoulder out of socket.
Yeah, let me limber up before I pop you one.
So you always probably need to start stretching out.
I was going to say, you might want to stretch during
stretch
this
a little
break,
bit.
Yeah, then I can start firing them off.
Yeah. And like I said, Tommy threw a book at, what was it? It was Vern Lundquist's book, wasn't it? That he threw at you, and then.
It's whatever I could grab.
I mean, it was a missile that got thrown in.
Who's the dumb pitcher in Bill Durham that can't, when Costner's like calling him out, like hit me in the face, and he throws it through the window? That was you, basically. I baited you into it, and you couldn't hit me four feet away.
Well, I hit the mic stand, you know.
You can make excuses.
Okay, well, Ty, here's
right
the thing.
In front of your face.
If your boss throws something at you and you get hurt with it, you could realistically sue the company.
I know.
So you think you wanted to take that risk?
So you're saying Tommy intentionally missed.
Yes, he intentionally missed.
I don't know about that. Well, he'll take that to his grave.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy's many things, but Tommy's not dumb when it comes to businesses and how things work.
Dumb about a lot of other things.
Yeah, a lot of other things, but that's certainly not one of them.
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope back. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're in number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
You can tell it's getting close to postseason time.
5-1, baby.
When high school basketball, they start getting in, because I saw this video last night where it was Little Rock Parkview and Little Rock Hall.
Thank you for not bringing up last week.
No, Tommy. We already took care of that one. This one's a new one. And I just wanted to bring this up because this was a fascinating thing, is that Hall gets the victory over Parkview, which, you know, Parkview's
is a huge rivalry between those two schools, that whether they're playing in the regular season, postseason, and state tournament, that is always a big game. And it oftentimes two of the more talented teams in the state, regardless of division.
Yeah. Well, Hall got the victory twice this year. They won the home game against Parkview, and then they went to Parkview.
So the game last night was at Parkview.
At Parkview, and they got the victory. So they also won the Central. With that victory, they won the conference. So it was a big game.
They win the 6A Central with the win. All right. So then what happened?
Then they started getting some, after the game, some chippiness. You know, the teams were kind of hooting and hollering at each other and whatnot. But I was just impressed. Maybe impressed is not the right word. But the fact that Hall, there was players that had brooms out on the court and they were sweeping.
Ooh.
And if that wasn't bad enough,
ooh,
the Hall players, some of them go over to Parkview's rim, and they cut down their net.
Hang on, they like cut the whole thing down?
The whole net was gone, and they are sitting there waving it around. Like, you talk about the cojones on some that. Listen, I have seen.
What, did they bring a ladder with them?
No, they got tall enough players to do it. I mean, there's a video out there. I think Kevin McPherson on Twitter has
it. Ladders just show up on spot.
Yeah, and I was like, man, listen, I know that there's some rivalries that go on, especially in this state, and it gets heated, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on. But that may be the first time I've ever seen a team go into the other team's court, into their gym, and cut down their net after beating them. Whew. That is, now if that's not rivalry, I don't know what is. And that's just, man, those are the things that it's just, like, you know, people are all upset and up in arms about. I guess if you're Parkview, you're pretty upset about it. And if I was a Parkview fan, I would be too. But see, those are the types of things that it's like, man, that's why I love rivalries. I love sports. And I love where the game means so much more. Because we were talking about this game. We're talking about Duke, North Carolina tonight. And there's just, and it just really sucks because this is why I want Arkansas to have a rival. Not a fake one, a real one.
Yeah.
A real one to where, like, stuff like this happens and it eats you alive if it happens to you. But if you're the one that's doing it to the other team, you pump up your chest and you put your hands on your chest and you're just like, yeah, that's my team right there. That's my school.
A team you hate so much, you would rather something bad happen to them than something good happen to you.
Exactly.
You would rather them lose than you win any week. I mean, that's just that's a real rivalry. But but again, a real rivalry, both of you hate each other that much, where they feel the same way about you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been the problem. Arkansas has hated Texas for years, decades, back to the 50s and 60s, where a lot of it's seated and rooted.
Mm-hmm. But well, it's like you have to be,
this fake rivalry, hashtag fake rivalry, with Missouri and football, that's a fake rivalry.
Mm-hmm. It needs to be to where you're public enemy number one by that fan base on both sides. Because Alabama, who's public enemy number one? Auburn. Auburn, who's public enemy number one? Bama. Boom. Rivalry. Yeah. That's what it is. I mean, you can sit here and try to talk about history and you talk about games of consequence, which I know that all adds into it. But it comes down to, do you hate that team more than anything? Yes. Do they hate you more than anything? Yes. Then it's a rivalry. Yeah.
Well, I think the best shot Arkansas has, we've talked about this before, is the A&M series.
Yep, and that's what I've been calling
it. But it's got to get moved. You know, Arkansas and LSU, LSU really didn't hate Arkansas as much, but it was a good rivalry, and it was a game that meant a lot to them because oftentimes something was on the line. But in order for Arkansas to really settle in, it's never going to work with Missouri.
No.
It's just not going to. We know it. They know it. The league knows it. Hopefully Hunter Yurecek knows it. And the only thing that really makes sense is how do we get the Southwest Classic moved to the day after Thanksgiving?
I've been wanting that. I think that would make it so much more fun.
Well, who does LSU play then? Well, let them play Missouri. I don't care who they play.
Yeah, because they're not going to have sparking a rivalry of A&M and LSU.
And do rivalries have to be on the last game of the year?
No, doesn't have to be. It's just kind of become, yeah, it's just kind of become where it's, you know, natural to have it that way. But no, that's what I've been hoping for and begging for a while. Let's go to the phone lines. Joe is in Fayetteville. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, I feel like in basketball, if you want to talk rivalries, whenever we can compete, people will fill up to play Kentucky. The problem is we just don't compete lately with them, so the rivalries kind of faded away.
Yeah, because Joe, that was actually the closest I've ever seen a rivalry happening for Arkansas. Is when Arkansas first arrived into the conference. Because Kentucky, I mean, they were always great in basketball, but they didn't have a true rival in basketball in the conference. But when Arkansas came in, I mean, those were, you couldn't miss those games. Those were nationally televised, big time, Saturday on CBS type games. And I think that was probably the closest Arkansas has ever gotten to any sport having a true legitimate rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Kentucky probably is our rival. It's just we're have not been to the level for them to even consider us a rival.
Kentucky was your rival 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever we were doing all right with Qualls and we had that putback dunk, I mean, the rivalry was, it wanted to start, but we just still couldn't compete with it.
Yeah. You couldn't have the consistency because that's the thing about the rival, because you haven't beaten Kentucky since you won at Rupp that year with the putback dunk. That was the last time you beat Kentucky. That was 2014. That was 5 years ago. And so if Arkansas would have beaten Kentucky, you know, maybe one or two more times after that, it may still be looked at that way. But right now, that's not even on the radar. There's nothing on the radar right now for Arkansas sports that's a true rivalry. And the only thing that's maybe close to me, and I've said this and I've wanted this, and this would make sense if it ever ends up being Arkansas and Texas A&M in football. I think that's the closest you're going to get to.
The Arkansas-Kentucky rivalry in basketball in the 90s is akin to the LSU-Bama rivalry we have in football now.
Yeah,
it's not geographical. It's nothing more than it's popped up based on games of consequence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the same thing with Arkansas and Kentucky. They were games of consequence in the 90s. These games don't mean much now because Arkansas is not on that level.
Yeah. So. Well, and then that you had Patino too. So, and Don Richardson.
Right.
I mean, you had big time Hall of Fame coaches. Well, I mean, everything that went along.
Well, you
with
got
it.
Calipari, who's
he's a Hall of Fame coach.
He's right there with Patino now. Mike's not with Nolan.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
No, that's true. Let's go back to the phone line. Steve is in Fort Smith. What's going on, Steve?
You ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Let her rip.
Well, I got to go to work for a minute, so I'll be brief. But, this is your What's Your Beef Wednesday, and I think y'all are being way too hard on Mike Anderson. He is so far ahead of other coaches. He's not worried about things like defense and blocking out and making adjustments. He's beyond that. And you can tell that the kids in the state are buying in because you can go by any playground or park and see kids playing Mike Anderson-style basketball. And don't even get me started on his assistants who are, I mean, they're up there because Scotty Thurman is able to telepathically instruct the players. He can go weeks and weeks and never say a word. So I think y'all are being too hard on Mike. And
so you're saying he's
a
trendsetter.
Nice guy, as y'all point out, I mean, he's a bargain at $350,000 a month. So anyway, just pointing out things from an old football player. But the conventional things that other coaches are doing and have been doing from 60s, 70s, or 80s, that's kind of passe. And Mike's gone beyond that. don't you think?
Yeah, yep.
It's next level thinking. Is that what you're saying? I just want to make sure you're not misquoting.
Yeah, I mean, because the stuff that other people do, Mike he's beyond it now. He doesn't have to worry about moving your feet to play defense and blocking out and making adjustments. So I think he's on another level, and we just don't appreciate it yet.
He's just ahead of the curve.
It's a different level. There's no question. Yeah.
Steve, I really appreciate more than anything the snarkiness and the sarcasm this early in the morning, man. I appreciate that.
Well, actually, I've been thinking about this for a couple of days, so don't give me too much credit, but I was just bored.
Yeah. Well, go work on the next
round. Now people can call up and rip me, but anyway, but at $350,000 a month, 8 years, three times in the NCAA, really not improving. Either we're going to accept being middle of the pack, or you're going to roll the dice and try to get another coach and try to improve the program. It's one or the other, because it doesn't look like we're heading upwards on the eighth year. Just me.
Well, do you really know where you're at with the coach until his ninth season? Do you really know? I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's right. You got to get him that first eight to get his feet wet. That's a good point. Good point. But once again, I'm not a basketball guy, so I'll bow to your wisdom.
Appreciate the phone call, Steve. Great call, man. Said if anybody appreciates snarkiness and sarcasm this early in the morning, it is certainly me. 877-377-6963 is the number to call in.
If sarcasm isn't your game, this is probably not your show.
Exactly. So, we are the Morning Rush.
We appreciate sarcasm more than any other show on the radio.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
It's just at the point now where you have six regular season games left. You got seven, including the SEC tournament, which you'll at least play one game there. And it just makes you wonder, what is Arkansas playing for right now? They're not going to the NCAA tournament. Right now, I would bet money on that they're going to the NIT. So with six games left, I mean, they might.
Okay, hang on. Let's stop and talk about that. All right. Tournament teams in the SEC, five or six? Is that a reasonable number?
Yeah.
Lean towards five.
Yeah, I'd say five.
Arkansas right now is, 10th in the SEC?
Correct.
Okay, so let's just say it's six. Let's just go benefit of the doubt. Let's help Arkansas in our argument here. The NCAA committee takes six teams. How many is the NIT going to take? Four tops?
Yeah, tops,
okay.
I'd say.
So let's just say benefit of the doubt. It's six for the big dance. 7, 8, 9, 10? Becomes team number four into the NIT? I mean, the reality is, if you're the 10th team in the league, you're a bubble NIT team. Because the NIT is not going to take like six teams from the SEC.
No.
It'll take like three or four.
That's the only scenario.
Am I right about this?
No, you are. And that's the thing. It's because so, based on that logic...
Arkansas right now is on the bubble to get into the NIT.
You're an NIT bubble team. You're as far as Joe Lenardi's first four teams in.
Tell me I'm wrong. What do you guys say? Change my mind. And then one of y'all segments?
Yeah.
Change my mind.
I'm not going to change your mind. Don't look at me for that. Because I agree with you. Because let's be honest, they're not beating Auburn tonight. They're not going to beat Kentucky on the road. Besides that, they have A&M, Ole Miss, and Bama at home. They go to Vanderbilt. They should beat Vanderbilt. They should beat A&M. Those teams are just absolutely terrible. So, but I don't think that they'll beat Ole Miss.
You don't think they'll win Auburn or Kentucky?
No.
Either one?
No. I don't see in any, especially Kentucky. There's no way that they're going to beat Kentucky.
They'll win one of the two.
Bold prediction.
Why don't you just say they win one of the one with Auburn tonight, if you're going to say that? Because, I would bet, I don't know what I'd bet, but I would almost make it as much of a guarantee as I possibly could that they are not beating Kentucky. So if you're saying they're going to win one of two, just say they're winning one of one, and that game is going to be Auburn, because it's not going to be Kentucky.
I think they could win at Auburn.
I think it's their best chance than Kentucky.
They're not going to win at Kentucky.
No. No, they can win at Auburn, because here's the thing about Auburn that a lot of people don't realize. They're 6-6 in SEC play. Like, they're a tournament team. They're 17-8 overall. But it's not like they've been setting the world on. Yeah,
they have work to do.
Yeah, but they've lost a lot of close games. Like they beat Vanderbilt this past game, but they lost to Ole Miss before that. They lost to LSU before that. They lost to Mississippi State. They lost South Carolina. They lost to Kentucky. They lost to Ole Miss. A lot of these games have been close, but they've been kind of up and down. Because if you look at it, they start SEC play with a loss. Then they won two. Then they lost three. Then they won three. Then they lost two. Now they've won one. So they've just kind of been up and down all around on a roller coaster. And so who knows really what's going to happen. But that's the same thing that Arkansas has gone through. If you look at Arkansas, when they got into conference play, they start with A&M as a win. Then they lose four. They win one. Or they win four. And then they lose three. It's just been all about a roller coaster with this team. And so it could be a crack. Like, I would not be surprised tonight if Auburn blew out Arkansas. And I would also not be surprised if Arkansas won by a slim margin. I wouldn't be surprised because you have two teams that are extremely inconsistent that have shown times where they looked good and have shown times when they looked really bad. And so I don't really know what's going to happen. It's a crapshoot tonight between these two teams. I think that if you're a Razorback fan, you're still going to watch the game. You're still going to hope for a win, and that would be nice. And I know that Daniel Gafford tweeted at our Hit That Line account trying to get after Ty because he's over here trash.
What'd you do, Ty?
I wasn't talking trash. I just asked him, are you guys moving on to baseball season? Daniel replied to the tweet, no, we ain't done yet.
Yep.
And then
that's good
I
news.
Asked, yeah. And then I, the next day, which was yesterday, I said, Daniel Gafford said the team isn't done yet. Do you believe this team could still go to the NCAA tournament? 90% of his responses were no, 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 no. And he just said, I'm using this as motivation. Something I did.
You put it out there.
So if this team makes the tournament, we can give part of the credit to Ty Richardson.
Okay. I'll take it. Headstrong.
I don't know. We may need to say the credit goes to Hit That Line. You know, we're company people here. That's the official Twitter account.
Yeah.
So
I'm a company man.
Give it to Hit That Line. But yeah. So yeah. Well, you can use that as motivation, though. Point to that. Let's go to the phone lines. Jaspin is in Van Buren. What's going on, Jaspin?
Hey, you guys. I think really the basketball season, you know, the writing's on the wall this year. But I know I have a lot of fans, you know, calling in. But yesterday, Mark called in. I really agreed with him. You know, I think we're kind of prisoners of the moment a little bit because at the beginning of the season we were asking, can Mike go 500, you know, and would it be his first losing season? But somewhere in the beginning of the season we really seen the potential of this basketball team and the way they played Texas and went down to the wire with a lot of games. And I think it really increased our thoughts of how much can this basketball team do? Can they exceed our expectations? And then when they started performing like we expected them to perform at the beginning of the season, now we're putting it all back on Coach Anderson. But I go back, I'm thinking about the whole tenure of Mike Anderson. I go back to the 2017 team where we go down to the wire against UNC and we get hosed by the refs, but it still gives me chills to picture Mike Anderson touching his heart and telling his players all the way to the end to play with your heart. And I went to the Bud last year and seen four Saturday games, and I've never seen the Bud rocking so hard as what it was last year. And it made me proud to be a Razorback fan, and I'm still proud to be a fan, and I really still think that Coach Anderson is our guy.
Well, here's the thing, Jaspin. I get what you're saying because I think that I've said this on the show just in the past few days that it's amazing to me that for how many we have people calling in or tweeting at us that they want changes or they want Mike Anderson gone, we have just as many people like you saying that they love Mike Anderson, think he's the right man for the job and all that. But you make a great point because that's something that I've also discussed and I thought was interesting is, and what made it worse is that people got so hyped up with this team when they got off to that really good start that they legitimately looked like an NCAA tournament team. I think that goes into the disappointment, but really where most of the disappointment goes into is that there's been a lot of games this year that Arkansas has lost that they should have won or that they were better than the team that they were playing, but due to things that are just doesn't make sense to them and doesn't make sense to us, they end up losing these games. Like there was no reason for them to go on the road and lose to Missouri. Missouri's not a good team. There was no reason for them to lose to Georgia Tech and Western Kentucky. They're better than those. Those are the things
that
frustrate them.
They're not. This team under Anderson is not meeting expectations.
That's right.
Right. You know, and I understand, too, that we are in Arkansas and we have expectations of the 90s being back, but really I think we need to have more expectations of defending the Bud. You know, I mean, rocking our home court, you know, I mean, we can go places with doing those different things. And we're not able to pick up McDonald's All-Americans in Arkansas. You know, I mean, that's just impossible.
But hey, you said something interesting there. Expectations of the 90s. Do you really believe the majority of this fan base expects Final Fours right now? Because I don't.
I think this fan base really
wants to see this team just get to the second weekend. We don't take a lot of calls saying, hey, why can't we get back to the way it was in 94, 95 when Nolan had us in the final? I mean, sure, everybody would love that. I don't think anyone realistically is expecting that. I don't think the expectations are that lofty. I think getting to a Sweet 16 two out of 5 years, one out of 5 years, something out of five, I think that's the expectation.
Right.
It's just be relative. Be in the mix.
Well,
be respected. Be respected as a program.
I completely agree. But my point with that is that, you know, a lot of people are talking about recruiting and getting McDonald's All-Americans. And, you know, we have youth, but other teams have youth, and they're doing fine with youth. Well, their youth that they have are, you know, three times the talent of the youth of our team.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not very often in a state like Arkansas where you have difficulty recruiting that you lose your entire basketball team in 1 year and you have to rebuild all in a brand new basketball team the next year. And I'll ask you this, and I've thought about it myself. If you could have kept one senior from last year, Barford, Macon, how many more wins would that have translated to this year? Five more? And would you be in the top three of the SEC?
I mean, I don't know if you'd be top three, but yes, you'd certainly be in the hunt for something.
You wouldn't be worried about making the tournament.
Yeah.
Because you'd have probably beaten Georgia Tech. You would have beaten
Western Kentucky.
You might have beaten Texas.
Yeah.
You know, three or four more wins right now for this program, it's a whole different story.
Yeah, and I really feel like Anderson caught a tough break, which it's on him, you know. But I still think he can do it. I still think that there's more for Anderson to do for this program.
Yeah. Well, you got a lot of optimism, Jaspin, and we'll see how it plays out. Appreciate your phone call, man. Some great points there, because it was nice to hear somebody from the other side of it. Yeah, that's the thing, is that there's some people out there believe Mike Anderson, too. But again, I go back to this, too, and we'll end on this, and I know we got some more phone calls. We'll get to that on the other side. But with Mike Anderson and the frustrations that people have, it's just a matter of they're looking forward. It's about where you came from, what you're doing now, where you're going. And where you're going at right now, there's just no light at the end of the tunnel. There's nobody that you can point to say this is going to be the reason why they're going to be in the tournament next year, the year after that, the year after that. You just don't have that.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod and Ruskin is Ranting podcast on HitThatLine.com.